You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
The old ball and chain here.
So when we were talking to our prime group about speaking today, I'm Kara and this is John, by the way. We told them that we were looking for a prop, you know, that hook. I'm a homeschool mom and we're always telling our kids, if you hook your reader, they're always going to stay in tune. So I was telling them, we're looking for that hook. And everybody just turned and went, that piece of junk, that's your hook. As you can see, it's not a piece of junk. This magical suitcase turns into a picnic table, and when we have enough kids, and like as you people know who have been in our prime group, I like actively pursue you and to bring your kids. So we have like somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 or 16 little kids right now, and it's awesome. We have to bring out this beautiful piece of architecture, or as John calls it, the old ball and chain. Now, what on earth does that have to do with what we're talking about today? You just going to have to wait and see. He hates this thing. It's probably becoming quite clear why we have it up here. All right. So about 22 years ago, believe it or not, since I think we're both 25, I met this tall drink of water, and we fell in love. And it didn't take us very long to figure out. We were, like, super, super different people. I think everybody who sees this is like, well, why did it take you so long? I'm like 5 foot nothing, except when I'm in my tall shoes, and he's 6'4". I go all the time. I have like 75 projects, and I'm always like one too many. What about you? You're not that way.
No, not at all. like Kara said, we're two different people, and how does it work? I mean, as many as you are, you guys are all different. Everybody's different. So we have to come up with our own foreign language to speak to each other, to get through to each other. And
figure it out.
It takes work. I mean, relationships, marriage is work. There's no other way to put it about it. We have good times, we have bad times. We work through it.
So I was remembering when we first got married, we were actually in Scott's next Sunday school class, you're back there, and he did a personality test, and it was really cool, and it was these animals, and he put out these, like, little cuddly animals on the screen, and there was, like, golden retrievers and otters, and it was, like, really adorable, and all my, like, really sweet friends with their coordinated clothes and, like, were really put together, they were all going to, like, the golden retriever corner and the otter corner, and they were, like, so put together, and I just kept watching and filling out my little thing. And I was in the lion corner. And I did not want to be in the lion corner. And then I looked, and I kept waiting. I was like, please, I just need, like, one other chick over there. And there are no chicks over there. And it was Scott, and it was John, and it was, like, a couple other dudes. And I was like, man, I don't want to do this.
And Scott, I can still remember Scott, what he said. Huh, wonder how that works.
We were like, we're not really super sure.
In that point in our marriage, we were only married a few years at that point, so we were trying to still figure
we're
out some
like,
stuff.
We're still like, I'm not really
we
sure.
Don't know. Actually, it was the first personality test we kind of took to kind of thought, well, it's good to kind of take this, and pretty much you remember what job actually called it.
Now, what is it? What's the cuddly little golden retriever test called? What is that one? There you go. So you guys can take that when you get home.
So around
the same time, we took the Myers-Briggs one, and this was like old school. You couldn't take it online, which we're going to tell you how to do that. But we were doing it in the back of a book, and then I lent it to somebody. I lent it to my boss, and he handed it back, and he just laughed. And he was like, I saw yours and John's, and I have no idea how you guys are doing this at all. And we were like, we're just trying to figure it out. So anyway, when Sean asked us up here, we're like, are you sure? Can you pick, like, something that's a little easier?
We're not preachers. We're not teachers. I mean, so to speak, teachers. If you have kids and everything, everybody's a teacher. This is just something.
But we are still alive after 20 years.
So. Yes, we are. This is some tools that we've lived through, and we're still actually, to this day, actually studying through this. We've went over this a bunch of different times in the last month, and I'm not going to say there were some fights, but there was definitely comments that brought up old baggage in our lives, like, how did we overcome some of this stuff?
I think it showed us, like, oh, man, we did figure that out.
We did figure it out. And so if we can give you guys something, some insight of to be able to help you guys through different situations.
Or even a cautionary tale. You know.
A cautionary tale. I can tell you plenty of stuff that I wish I could have done over again. And there's all kinds of stories I can get into, little rabbit trails, but I give myself into trouble.
I don't know,
sometimes.
But I do tell my kids, I'm like, good luck finding somebody as good as your dad. He's my favorite person. So before further ado, we're just going to kind of get into this. And anybody who's been in our group knows we kind of riff with each other. I tell him to slow down constantly, so you might see. Sharon offered to be my flagger today. so we do a little like... Anyway.
A lot of times she finishes my sentence, I'm like, what am I actually trying to say here? That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
So bear with us. Sort of a little deal. All right. Let me get where we are. So we can go to the point slide. Marriage. We've learned that marriage works when you pursue your spouse. Now, maybe some of what we said seems familiar to you. Maybe what you and your spouse have doesn't really seem to work on paper, or maybe there's sometimes when it doesn't really seem to work in general. You just are not sure how to go through life or how to survive this next crisis that's in front of you. It might seem like it's more work than it's really even worth. We're with you. Or maybe if you're not married yet or you're not in a relationship, you're like, oh my word, this sounds just like way too much work to make this really good.
And I was going to say, pretty much, if you guys didn't think about it, the younger crew here, pretty much you come from two different families and come together. She has her baggage, I have my baggage, and when families come together, they just have different experiences in life. Your families do something different. Every Friday night, we eat pizza together as a family, and just little things like that define you as a person that the other person doesn't even know about till you guys get married. And believe me, I loved my wife when I was first married to her. Well, we were dating too, but I loved her, but like the depth of... love that actually continues to go through your marriage. It's ever evolving. I was telling Jeff Faulkner, it's pretty much like your taste and, this is in prime group, but the end of prime group, saying about your taste, you know, every few years your taste buds change and you're ever evolving your taste. So basically you're changing throughout your whole life and adapting to situations that come about that you don't even want to go through. And if you knew you were going to go through them at the time, you're probably like, I don't want to go through that, but you do, and who better to share the time with than your best friend? And I love her. I mean, she's my champion when I come home from hard days of work.
She made me cry. You're in trouble.
I'm not going to make you cry. I didn't bring tissues up here. Anyhow, it's good to have a champion at home when you come home, and you need that. You need that for each other to be able to support each other. And when you have a bad day, when your family's kind of all crazy, I mean, everybody has times that they have to be able to talk to somebody. And who else better than your spouse, my favorite person, obviously. But enough of that. Let's keep going.
All right. So most of us have a could have been, or things could be better if only I would have done this. Or maybe it gets so bad that you think, maybe if I wouldn't have chosen this person, or maybe if we wouldn't have gone down this path, I would have this happy, whatever, fantasy. And I thought of this movie clip, John. Marlon Brando, you guys.
Okay. She thinks he's a hug, but the movie pretty much, the clip that we're going to watch is like, I still remember going through this, like, she's like, everybody has to watch that.
I was like, okay, we're
this is like this is like the best clip of the whole movie.
Okay, go ahead.
It
all right,
good.
Control it.
Kids,
don't you love it?
How much you weigh? And you weighed 168 pounds. You were beautiful. It could have been another Billy Conn. That skunk we got you for the manager. He brought you along too fast.
It wasn't him, Charlie. It was you. Remember that night in the garden? He came down my dressing room and said, "Kid, this ain't your night. We're going for a price on Wilson." You remember that? This ain't your night. My night. I could have taken Wilson apart. So what happens? He gets the title shot outdoors in a ballpark, and what do I get? A one-way ticket to Palookaville. You was my brother, Charlie. You should have looked out for me a little bit. You should have taken care of me just a little bit so I wouldn't have to take them dives for the short end money.
Well, I had some bets down for you. You saw some money.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody. Instead of a bum. Which is what I am. Let's face it.
If you guys want to see the rest of that movie, the beginning of it, he is like in a super...
or not.
It is like... Okay, he's like all in a funk, and he has this fantasy, my life could have been better, and so I can't live the life I have right now because I could have had this other life. And if you watch the... Like, I know he's making fun of it, but like he gets to realize that he can be a hero in the life that he has, yeah. Which is why I picked it, and yeah. Also because, you know, he's not too hard to look at. Okay. It's called On the Waterfront. I highly recommend it. Eva Marie Saint is stellar. Marlon Brando in his early days before, you know, he moved to his island and all his jazz. So, anyway, it's like one of the top 100 movies of all time. I don't know. Anyway, watch it. All right. Yeah. We are speaking out of Proverbs, which John's going to be going over in just a second. But in the point of Solomon's life where he was writing this, he knew all too well the it could have been. And honestly, he was kind of disillusioned. All you have to do is read a little bit of Ecclesiastics. I mean, this guy was mopey. He was like, I don't know. Like, he was like a big I could have been. He wasn't really enjoying the life he had. And so he was picturing a time in his sons' lives when they would be at that crossroads, where they would look around at the family that they had, at the life that they had built, and think, I don't know. I don't know if this is what I should have done. And so he's talking specifically to them as grown men who are tempted to look around and think of a different story that they could have written for themselves. And he tells them, destruction follows. Over to you.
So pretty much the last part of the chapter is the part that we want to actually talk about. But the first, I think, the first part of the passage of Proverbs 5 is important to read just as much as the latter. So I'm going to start at, this is in Proverbs 5. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise sayings. Then you will continue to have good sense. Your lips will keep speaking words of knowledge. A woman who commits adultery has lips that drip with honey. What she says is smoother than olive oil. But in the end, she is like bitter poison. She cuts like a sword that has two edges. Her feet go down to death. Her step leads straight to the grave. She doesn't give any thought to her way of life. Her paths have no direction. She doesn't realize it. Sons, listen to me. Don't turn away from what I say. Stay on the path from the evil woman. Don't even go near the door to her house. If you do, you will lose your honor to other people. You will give self-respect to someone who is mean. Strangers will use up all your wealth. Your hard work will make someone else rich. At the end of your life, you will groan. Your skin and your body will be worn out. You will say, how I hated to take advice, how my heart refused to be corrected. I would not obey my teachers. I would not listen to those who taught me. I was soon in deep trouble. It happened right in front of me, in front of the whole assembly of God. Now, let's go back here to all these things right here.
You can go to the next slide, Garrett.
Thanks,
Solomon's series of unfortunate events, in case you weren't following along. He's so, like, guys, this is not good.
So pretty much I just want a few things right here I want to point out was bitter poison, a sword that has two edges, down to death, straight to the grave. I mean, these aren't very, very nice things. Lose your honor. Strangers will use up all your wealth. You will groan. Your skin and your body will be worn out. Oopsie. You will groan. Your skin, your body will be worn out. Yes. You're in deep trouble. Yes. So all those things, they're not very nice things, pretty much all the things I just read right there. So we're actually, like, the latter part of the verse would be, like, the antidote is what we kind of say. The antidote would be starting off in verse 15. So drink water from your own well. Drink of water from your own spring. Should your springs pour out into the streets? Should you...
Can we have the next slide, please?
Sorry.
And then go to the next one after that. Thank you.
Should your streams of water be poured out in the public places, let them belong to you alone. Never share them with strangers. May your fountain be blessed. May your wife be married when you were young. Make you happy.
And let's skip down to, I know these other verses aren't on there, but I'm going to read them anyhow because I forgot to put them on there. My son, why are you captured by another man's wife? Why hug a woman who has gone astray? The Lord watches your ways. He studies all your paths. And I really like kind of like verse 21 because God's keeping track of what you do. And this is kind of like pretty much at the end of the chapter. It's accountability to everybody. So that kind of makes sense with God knows your life. So
I like what he's saying here. He's making it pretty simple for all of us. He says, I want you to be happy with the spouse that you have and the life that you have. He's telling these boys in explicit detail the thing that they were picturing was a fantasy and what they already had, what they needed to be happy. So we're going to walk through Solomon's tips for how to turn your could-be into something that makes your marriage work, and then we're going to get back into why the heck I made him drag this picnic table up here. Okay, so can we go to our next slide? The next slide, the trust God with your person.
Yes.
So it's like down. There we go. Okay, so the next one is trust God with your person.
So may your family be blessed. May the wife you marry when you're young make you happy. And I was going to say there, when I was younger, I think we were married when we were 23. Anyhow, yeah, we were married when I was 23. Pretty much.
Good answer.
Yes. Thank you. The more older I get, I mean, I don't really feel that old. I mean, I know I'm getting older. I'm 43, but the older I get, I'm like, the younger it hurt, I realize I still am. So I was talking to Karen when we were really going over this. I'm like, I really feel like the wife of my youth is, it could be every year, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, because you keep getting older at the same rate, obviously. But that really kind of resounded to me when I was reading through that.
So God is reminding us to enjoy our present with the person that we're with. This is not a future promise. I think a lot of times in the Bible we have a future promise. If you do this, this will happen. But he's saying, dudes, you already have it. It's kind of a slap upside the head. You already have in your life what can make you happy. And if you're not prioritizing that person or enjoying the life that you have with that person, you're not going to have this mythical future with, I could have had this or I could have been a contender. You've got what you have right here. That's what Solomon is telling us. He's saying to enjoy the life that you have with the person that you're with. So if you might not be married yet or even dating, but now is the time where you'd be thinking about what that future relationship will look like and how will you pursue that person that you're with to make your present your own.
And I was talking about foreign languages because we kind of aren't on the same page all the time. And foreign languages would be like...
Well, I mean, we're on the same page, but it's not being the same language.
Yes, okay. Same language. But a lot of times whenever we go to pretty much reunions or something like that, Kara's not... She feels like she's trapped occasionally.
There's a lot of Jell-O salad.
Yeah, there's a lot. My families are huge, and I'm like, you know what? If it makes you happy, let's bring two vehicles. I mean, we're local. And if she wants to shoot out a little bit earlier, I mean, that's...
Sneak out the old back door is really
awesome. So in case you're part of family in here, she sneaks out
occasionally. We love you, but I also need to go.
Right.
It took us a really long time. Like, I would stay till reunion till 10 o'clock, and I went to, like, bury him in a shallow grave beside the Jell-O salad. Like, it was not good. No one should be that mad. Like, I realize it's my issue, but for him to hand me a set of car keys was, like... It was like him buying me a dozen roses. I'm not kidding. Like, he was speaking my language. He was speaking, like, the little introvert language and saying, I know this is hard for you to, like, do all this interacting. And
that did take some time for me to learn that. And when I did learn it, I'm like, yeah, I got this.
And I think for me, he's a big hunter. And especially when we had little kids, for him to be gone every single Saturday, see ya, and I'd have, like, diaper bags and babies, I was not super happy when he walked back in the door.
The kids go with me now, mostly.
He takes
now.
The kids, and it is like, it's like I get a vacation. So anyway, it took me a while to learn that is what he needed to recharge.
Yes.
He comes back, and he was like, you know what I read in YouVersion when I was, like, in the woods and there was snow falling around me? And I'm like, well, that sounds horrible, A. But B, I'm glad the Lord visited you there. Maybe you were near death. Maybe that's why. But that's what he needs, you guys. That's what he needs. And it took me a while to figure out, like, we're speaking two different languages, and if he's going to let me leave and not eat Jell-O salad, like, this is what pursuing him looks like. It's for me to say, you know what? This is great. You need this, and you're going to come back, and you're going to be refreshed.
So what we were going to point out is, what actually, everybody in here is different, like we said previously. What recharges you? I know for Kara, it's reading a book by herself, going to Starbucks by herself, no kids. And that recharges her. I know that without a doubt. And you know what? Let her do that, because when she comes back, she's more recharged and she's ready to tackle life. For me, like she said, I think it's a personality thing.
I think
it's all different for everybody.
Knowing who you are is a really big part of that, and making sure you really understand who the other person is, not just who you think they are. Someone who really interacts and tells all the great jokes at parties might not be an extrovert. It's how you charge up. It's how you fuel up for that next interaction. And like you said, kind of coming home to a champion. But that champion who knows what you need is amazing. Like, you guys, it's a hot mess out there. We know that. So don't you want your person to be the one who recharges you and is like, you know what, I know what you need. Like, we can do this. We can get through this next crisis together. I gotcha.
Absolutely. So the next thing we're going to be talking about is the first one, obviously, was trust God with your person. The next one would be trust God with your present. He's actually directing our steps. One thing we see in verse 18 is kind of revolutionary. Instead of telling us that we need to change to be happy, he tells us, the readers, that we already have what we need for happiness.
So I think if we asked anybody, are you going through anything right now? We'd like look around and be like, dude, it is crazy. And I think what I realized, and first of all, everyone's craziness looks totally different. Sometimes whenever I'm doing a lot of work right now, and I'm meeting interns and these people who are really young, and they're like, I'm so busy. And I'm like, girl, you don't have any idea. But at the time, I remember being in college at the time, you're like, I can't get through this. But there are things that all of us are facing, and I think every single one of you, if I sat down with every single person, there's something, one thing, or maybe five things in your life that you're like, I'm not actually sure if we're going to get through this. It might be a crisis. It might be baggage or past trauma that has come up in your life, and you're like, I'm trying to push through this. I'm trying to fix this. It might be a conflict with your spouse. It might be, I don't know what it is, but every single person that is around you is going through something, okay?
So the way you handle those issues in your life really reflects your walk with God, but also your spouse, like I said previously, was you need that champion in your life. You need to step up. You need to – I'm challenging you guys to be able to step up and say, you know, my spouse, my significant other not talking about the teens right now, obviously, they're not, people who are married – you guys need to be able to support your spouse.
But I think our first instinct is I need to get through this crisis.
Yeah.
And so I think it takes deliberation and really stepping down for a second and saying, wait, I need to make sure I have on my oxygen mask, and I need to make sure that my spouse has on their oxygen mask, that they are being taken care of, that I'm pursuing them, making sure they're recharged so we can get through this together. Because if you come out of this mess, whatever hot mess you're in, and you have left them 50 miles behind, and they are, you know, worn out, they haven't felt appreciated or valued, you might be through the crisis, but like, really, are you? Are you, now you're going to face the next thing you need to face when you're not on the same page. And I get it. I think that when we're going through something, like any one of us can, you've got your thing already in your brain, you got it. You're thinking about it right now, and you're like, I barely made it through. I can't stop and be thinking, what do they need? Let them handle them. They're grown up. But if you can handle, if you can be taking that extra time to pursue and take care of them.
So recently, on the same page. Recently we came across this quote from, I think it was Craig Rochelle. It says, what you feed grows, what you starve dies. So,
and I was like, dang, copy, paste.
I do have a little story there about Kara. In our marriage, we were...
It's not like a story.
For the play it. Anyhow, over the years, hundreds of planties this woman has brought home, and I'm like...
They're really pretty.
They're really pretty, like, the first 2 days that they're in our house. And I'm, like, thinking in my mind, I actually said this to her yesterday, like, oh, welcome to death row. You have a limited lifespan, buddy, let me tell you. So I don't know if she overwaters it, or too much sun, or whatever it is.
Who really knows?
So anyhow,
fast forward, and now my daughter, Tessa, actually does know how to take care of plants. So Kristen came in the other day, and she's like, you guys have so many beautiful plants in your house. And John, like, almost got a stomach cramp laughing so hard. He was like, well, it's not
I was waiting to hear what she said.
So I am a living example that what you feed grows and what you starve dies.
So, that being said is, guys, date nights are huge. And we want to kind of point out that in our lives, it kind of took us a while to, I'm not even quite sure what the deal was with when we actually thought about this, but we were actually thinking about, you know, having kids. We have five kids. And pretty much, they're pretty much, we had...
So we had like 7 years that either I was pregnant or on bed rest or nursing or had like just, it was like kind of like a litter of kittens, like all climbing out of the box.
So we're talking like...
And so we were like, we don't have time for this.
We're talking like years ago, like this was, I mean, with the whole stress with kids and, you know, just trying to survive through the day pretty much was, we were like, you know, when the kids, realizing that the kids are going to be grown up and out of the house and you know... 2 years, 5 years. This year, my, you know, I have two seniors, and realizing that life is short, and the time that you spend with your kids is great. You have to invest in them. Obviously, they're your kids; you have to take care of them. But the wife that God gave you, you have to spend time with them. You have to invest time with her. Because guess what? When the kids leave the house, it's pretty much just you and your wife. And that kind of like, I'm not saying. Kind of scared us, but we're like, this kind of, we want to be proactive and dating. So what we were saying is, pretty much whatever it took to hook your spouse, everybody here that's been married, you guys dated one time. So your spouse saw something in you that they kind of liked. And when you guys were dating, how much did you guys like or anticipated date night? On a Friday night, I get to spend time with your significant other, whoever it is, and me now? We have date nights regularly, and this is one thing that...
But we did it even when they were, like, the kittens. Oh,
yeah, definitely. But I'm saying is, you guys need to have date night. You guys have to be interested in each other. And I was going to say, let me just read down through my notes here real quick. It's my favorite night of the month. It is. Kara, we usually schedule a month out. It doesn't have to be, well, with our schedule, we say, in this time period, we want to have something, do something. And we can really tell if we don't have time... that we spent together during that month, you start getting a little bit more agitated to each other. You guys aren't on the same page. Not the same page. I mean, the kids have tests, PSATs. You know, kids, what are they going to do? How are we going to survive financially? How are we going to pretty much survive, you know, to a day-to-day basis? You know, sometimes we cry on our date nights because of stuff
sometimes
we're struggling.
Sometimes we fight in the parking lot.
Sometimes we fight in the parking lot before we go into the restaurant, which is not good.
I don't know. Maybe it does.
It's resolved, but it's resolved by the end of the night, and you know we make adjustments.
But I think we're getting back on the same page. So
yes.
I think for me, whenever we were first married, it was really hard for me to see people maybe who are at a different stage in life, and they're having these like going on these like big cruises, or they planned this, you know, like $200 meal and. It was not possible at different times. And we have learned to make kind of these stolen moments. Last year we were like coming off on, it was really close. We needed to have a date and it was right before he went to Oaxaca and he called me and he goes, meet me at the doctor's office. He was getting his shot and what, those patches, motion sickness patches, I'm like, I'm there. And I remember Julie Boyer was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going on a date with John. We're going to the doctor's. And we like played games. I have games on my phone. We were like telling stories. We were laughing so hard. The nurse came in. She's like, "What?
We really want the doctor's office.
What's going on here?" We're like, "This is our date night," and then we went and got dinner afterwards. It was like a blast.
The thing is, you guys don't. As long as you guys spend a little bit of time with each other, like
deliberate time,
to be able to talk to each other.
It does not have to look what everybody else is doing. It probably won't.
And you don't have to spend $250 in the meal to go out to eat.
Right? Or I joke because even now we listen to our like when we watch a movie, we have it really really quiet. With the closed captions on, because when we had like 8-month-old twins, we'd be like, wait, we put everybody down and we would make like a special dinner and put on usually like a BBC murder mystery because he loves me. He's like, I have no idea what these dudes are saying or why they're like, anyway, he loves me. And so we would like listen to it real quiet so no one would wake up. But it was like we made deliberate efforts and it didn't always look like what everybody else was
and
doing.
It doesn't have to be expensive. Like I said, time you guys spend with each other is invaluable. Get to know each other. You guys have to know each other and what's going on.
I think for us,
this
is like learning how to just enjoy the mess rather than say once we're through this, then we're going to schedule this elaborate thing. To be like, dude, we're just going to enjoy this mess and that it's incomplete and then that it's kind of a hot mess right now and we're just going to have fun in the middle of it.
So We don't have it all together, for one thing, but clearly.
Or not very many plans.
A lot of times people look around and they say, they got together. How comes they're not, how comes their relationship isn't struggling? They have no idea. People, I'm not saying
they're hiding it really well.
They're hiding really well.
Somebody like
everybody struggles. Everybody struggles. You guys have to kind of work through that. I'm not sure what your love language is to each other, but.
Figure it out.
You guys will figure it out.
Okay, so in a minute we got to. Last one is, but you're not going to talk fast, right? Sharon's back there. She's watching you. Okay, so I'm a freelance writer, and a couple weeks ago I went and did an interview for a CFO at a local company, and he was saying that he had gotten job offers from other places in Atlanta and Pittsburgh, and he said, you know, I could be making double what I'm making here. And I said, why aren't you? And he was like, well, because I've learned that this is such a great place to raise my family. And he said, something I've learned is you jealously guard the things that are important to you. And I went home and I was like, you know what this dude said to me? Like, he's pretty successful, but he was not anywhere near what the potential was. And he was like, it doesn't matter to me because I'm jealously guarding what's important to me. And I was like, I'm so stealing this from him, because that was kind of my takeaway for all of this. Is the person beside you important to you, and are you jealously guarding them? Like, if you look at, I just got my year-end statement for my credit card, and it was like, this is what you spent your money on. And I'm like, oh, and I click it, and it's like, groceries, Amazon video. I was like, for real, but if someone could, like, bring up our credit card, did it show that I prioritized this person who is important in my life? Did I show people around me that I was jealously guarding the person that was most important to me?
So my question is to you guys, everybody has spare time. I know I drive back and forth to work a lot.
You have a 2-hour commute every day, so if you can say you have spare time.
I'm just saying is the spare time that you guys spend, we just kind of crunching in our mind pretty much, what do you guys spend time with? Social media? Teenagers like gaming on the computer, playing games after school or whatever, or maybe during school. You shouldn't be doing that. But pretty much, what's taking up your time? Kids' sports, schedules. You guys have to realize how important this is to be able to invest time in your spouse. And that's kind of some of the stuff that we've worked out and we're still working out. I mean, marriage is an ongoing, like I said, it always changes. It's not going to look the same. Last week is what it looks this week, because we sign up for different stuff. You guys have different responsibilities. It's just ever-changing. So you kind of have to roll with the punches, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's always going to be changing. It's always going to be evolving.
I thought it was great that this is coming right in the tail end of Jonah, because it's all about second chances. So I think that no matter where everybody is, and I'm putting ourselves in the mix, I think there's some stuff, like he said, man, I wish that wasn't part of our story. I wish that Kara would bring that up every time we had a fight. My bad. It's not. God is a God of second chances, you guys. We are serving a God whose whole gig is, I am the person who makes second chances. So let him do that. Let him work that in your life and make this next chapter even better than the chapter you've had before. Let's see. So you need to pursue your spouse in small things without comparison. What somebody else is doing is not what's going to work for you. You put in seize the day. I guess I said that a lot in the 90s.
Whenever she, we were first dating, she's like, hey, carpe diem. I'm like, what in the world does that mean? I have no idea.
We didn't have Google. Okay. By showing gratitude for who that other person is. He texts me at 5:30 every morning. I'm usually like getting ready to get on the treadmill.
She's awake. She's awake. And she usually has her first coffee. I'm on my first or second cup of coffee. So that is our thing that we do. And guys, girls, I'm talking about married people now, obviously, but when's the last time you flirted with your wife? Seriously. When do you still flirt with your wife?
This is the point where if the kids need to use my phone, I'm like, what
is he? I'm serious. A little text sending your wife and knowing that you care about her and say you love her, or hey, I'm glad we spent time.
You're important to me.
Over the weekend, you're important to me. I love you. Thanks for being, you know, being there for my kids when I'm not there. I'm driving when I should be at home. Just a little text, something very, very small. Write notes in the mirror when she comes to the bathroom first thing in the morning. Tape in the mirror so she sees that. Who cares if her kids see them? Well,
maybe care. Well, maybe care a tiny bit.
Age-appropriate stuff, guys, obviously. But, you know, just little stuff to know that you care for your spouse. I mean, you guys need to be doing that. And it pays dividends, and when I come home, I mean, I used to always tease the kids used to always come right out to me. Now the dog comes right out to me because the dog's happy to see me. My kids still do that occasionally, but it is so nice when you walk in the house and see your wife's smiling face, and it kind of sets the precedence for the day. Your tone, you're not there to... The tone that you set in the morning carries through to when you come home. So what I'm saying is, if you guys do that first thing in the morning, it's for us, it's first thing in the morning texting.
For some of you, maybe a 5:30 text would not set the tone for a good day.
Sean's upstairs.
Yeah, Sean would be like, we are done. We're on.
So all I'm saying is, make sure you guys spend time and send like little notes. Texting is awesome for us. I usually try to outbeat her with the GIFs, I'm gonna guess, or whatever you say, like little random things that... To say that I love you.
You are the GIF master.
Thank you.
I don't know where. I have no idea where he finds all these Michael Scott ones. Like, I can't find them all.
Anyhow.
You're really good at it. Okay.
Just make sure you spend time.
All right. So, we do have to kind of cut this a little short. So, back to our ratty table. I'm a junker. I'm not recovering. Like, I am full, like, on still a junker. Okay?
Thank you, Reidsville Sale
yes,
Day.
Yes, I get on the Reidsville Sale. And Reidsville Sale is on a Wednesday, so that by Thursday, if you come to our group in the summer, you get to see what new piece of junk I found. And Jeff Faulkner, poor Jeff, well, he will kind of like tease me. And the one time John was in Oaxaca, I'm like, guys, I found this like piece of stained glass. Like half of the pieces are broken. It's okay. It doesn't matter. Like I'm gonna go, and I have this whole plan. And they just kind of snicker at me. Well, so a couple weeks later. And so we're calling John on the phone, like, did you get there okay? Look what I got! And, like, putting the, and he's like, and you see, like, this little picture of him going, oh, help us. Like, and so a couple weeks later, I find this lovely thing. And I'm so excited because, A, it fits into the suitcase. It's chipped. I'm a big chippy paint person. It's bright yellow.
I do call it my ball and chain, by the way.
And
I said,
it is, like, 900 pounds. And so it is way heavy. Like, it's heavier than an adult. Like, this is like, anyway. So, whenever I get all excited, we get a bunch of people in prime group, I'll go, guys, it's time for the table. And then you hear John go, ugh. And then you hear, kook, kook. I said, yes, because I can't lift it. I need John to lift it. And then he brings it up. I can't set it up, because it's like. So, John pursues me by basically not killing me by putting up this table. But he knows how important this is to me, and it's become a joke, because he's like, you know what? I love you despite your junker habits. And that's the way he pursues me, you guys. It is not what it looks like for anybody else at all, because I'm a super weirdo, but, you know, so are you. So,
yep.
Anyway, it's not going to look like what it looks like for other people. It has to be really deliberate. And thanks, guys, for reminding us about our crazy table. So, did you have anything else to say before we bring up our guest?
I think we're randomly going to select somebody out in the group.
I know. Who? I think we should pick Jason and Chelsea.
Come on down.
Okay, so we're going to send you guys home with a little questionnaire about answers to your questions. You guys can sit up in these, like, special fancy chairs.
Yeah.
And then on the back of it, you're going to turn it over. You're going to answer what you think the other person is going to answer, okay? Now, to illustrate this, in case that's a little too complicated, we are going to ask them some sample questions. These are not going to be the questions you are going to be asked, okay? So, what I'm going to ask you, you're going to answer first. You're going to, whenever I ask you, like, the answers for Jason, so make sure you, like, know which one's for you and which one's for him, okay? They're going to answer first for themselves. Second, for what they think the other person's going to do. So it's kind of like the newlywed game, only way more complicated because I did it, you know? Like, why make something simple?
So the first one's our own answer, is that right?
Well, but then as long as I just need to say, like, I need the answer for Jason. Okay. Would you rather be in a fight with a badger or a bear? One for you, one for yourself.
This isn't what you guys are going
to do. This is not what you guys are going to have to do. This is just because they're Jason and Chelsea. Okay. Not in Bedair. Bedair. You ready? Come on, Jason. Come on. Hurry. Okay. So the answers for Chelsea.
Badger?
Badger! Okay. Answer's for Jason.
Badger.
Badger! You won! Okay, here's the next. Does everybody understand? Okay.
I usually ask her about spelling, but I couldn't do that.
Okay, it doesn't even matter. She loves you, whether you can spell badger or not. Really?
So your favorite Muppet would be the next one.
Any Muppet, living or dead. No, they're not dead. I'm just spoiler. No, there's no dead Muppet. Guys, there's no dead Muppet. One for you, one for yourself.
Justin, go,
Justin,
go.
Is
a word bank
somewhere? Green, maybe. He's green.
Is that who you pick?
I don't know. I think the Swedish Chef would be one.
Oh, man. Yes. Okay, are you ready? For Chelsea.
Not a puppet.
Kermit. Gator.
Kermit.
Okay.
The power suggestion. Okay.
So now for Jason. She was like, I am not playing by these rules. Okay, for Jason.
Thank you.
The only two Muppets I could think of.
Okay. All right. Would you rather have the gift of flight or invisibility?
And David, can we start the handout?
She already did it.
Awesome. Thank you. I didn't see that.
Okay. For, are we ready? I-N-D.
Got it.
Okay. For Chelsea.
Invisibility.
Okay. For Jason.
Flight.
Okay. All right. What's the next one?
The next one would be irrational fear. What do you guys
What's
fear?
An irrational fear that you have? He didn't prep on this, sorry.
Yeah, we didn't kind of give him, we just said, hey, you guys are going to, by the way.
Is that too, should I do the dachshund one?
Oh, I get this.
I asked them, whenever I was asking them to do this, I said, so would you rather die by 100 paper cuts or by death by rogue dachshunds? That's a discussion question for you. The dachshunds? I think that'd be such a slow death. They'd have to, like, topple you over. Well, you could get septic. You could get septic, though. 100
paper
cuts. Strategically placed. I don't know. It's a spot right here. You know, it's worth a thought, Eric.
You guys ready?
You ready? Irrational fear.
Which one first?
Chelsea.
Okay. I have bear attacks.
Okay, Chelsea.
You can't take the answer.
Yes. Yes. My sister. There we go. Okay, Jason. Really, it is kind of the same thing for us introverts.
My irrational fear is I might starve to death if I don't get dinner that night.
Roller coasters. You might starve to death on a roller coaster. That would be terrible. Okay. We'll just get to the last one. When I was a kid, I wanted to be this. Ballerina, Jason. B-A. When I was a kid, I wanted to be this. Okay, while they're thinking, as soon as they're done, you guys are going to do the same thing. It's not quite as goofy, unfortunately.
So if your significant other's not here, you should probably grab one for them as well.
Grab one for them and have a little discussion, you know? Okay. Then when you're done with this, you're actually going to trade it to your spouse.
If you're a teenager, this is for future reference.
Yes, if you're a teenager, you are not married, you're out of a relationship. This is just kind of a good thing. Like, this is going to help you as you prioritize the people in your life and pursue them.
Just kind of get you guys started in a discussion if you guys are having problems with
this. So you're going to fill this out. You're going to trade it. You're going to swap it, okay?
With your spouse.
All right, last question. When I was a kid, I wanted to be for Chelsea. A t-shirt. Yay! Okay, for Jason.
He says pro wrestler.
I have photo evidence.
We need to see this.
There may have been a championship belt involved.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Firefighter. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. We're going to give you a couple minutes to actually fill these out right now. So, again, if you are not married, just do it just to humor us, okay? Just for
it's just a tool to be able to help you guys.
And if you are married, you're going to fill it out, and you are going to give it to the other person. What? You're supposed to do it right now. It is 11:24. We've got plenty of time.
Yeah.
I'm forcing you to do homework in class. Oh, did you not get pens? Do we have pens, David?
Yep. Pens,
okay.
Pens are on
Here
the
line. Here they come. Yes, we are making you do this in class.
We're afraid if you guys don't do it right now, at least part
what?
Of it.
I got on my wooden shoes. I'm going to...
They hurt too.
It's a bad day to say tonight.
Well, okay, so this week. Can I just say that I was laughing? I was trying to think of something really funny to be like, it's Super Bowl Sunday, and they like specially asked me to be here, but I couldn't fit it in. So now I got to say it now. Craig Groeschel had like cutouts. Of like football players and a green screen with a field behind them, and you have me who has no idea what I mean other than the end zone. What? Oh yeah, for real. Did they like superimpose them on there? If you don't want to fill them all out, just a few. Kyle's like totally like ignoring me. He's like, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do to me? You don't have to do it right now. We're just gonna give you a couple more minutes to fill these out. You're gonna swap them with your spouse, okay?
So I was going to say one more thing. Date night, guys. Date nights are awesome.
It doesn't have to be tonight. Obviously, you're going to be like stuffing yourself on little appetizers that you got at the Giant. I get it. Or something, whatever you do. Not really, I've never been to a Super Bowl party. I'm not really sure what happens, but I think that's what people do.
And this is like pretty much the discussion with your guys' spouse. When is the last time you guys discussed like your hopes, your dreams, your ambitions, your future accomplishments? I mean... This is basically just a jump start to get you guys talking. It doesn't have to actually be all this stuff that's on the list, but just a starting point.
Kyle's being is starting to act out a little bit.
Knock it off, Kyle.
Oh, I see.
I'll ask you a prime group.
Yeah, John will ask you a prime group.
I'll call you out. So we'll give you guys another minute here, and then we're going to close in prayer, or I'll close in prayer then. This isn't a test, or maybe it is.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, I'm going to close in prayer, but obviously if you guys want to keep writing after prayer is done, go ahead. You're right ahead.
Feel free to take extras. I think there's probably some beside you, and David probably has more, too. If you want to take some or you want to redo it later, it doesn't matter. Do you have extra back there, David? Okay, he has extra if you want to grab a few.
Okay, let's close in prayer, guys. Thank you, Lord, for this this time that Karen and I actually had to look into teaching today's message about pursuing each other, and thank you for this lovely woman that you've given to me, Lord, and thank you for her encouragement in my life, and she has definitely helped me, Lord, and to be a more godly human being, Lord, and to want to serve you, Lord. We ask that you give us strength, Lord, and I know we as couples are going to fight, Lord, and help us to always see an end and an out, Lord, that we can always say we're going to work through this, and we need to work through this, and we're going to accomplish great things, Lord, when we do. And help the relationship and our relationship, Lord, with you and with our spouse, Lord. Help us to want to work through, Lord, even though we know we're going to have tough times, but we're also going to know, Lord, that we're going to have happy times as well, Lord. Give us strength, Lord, and help us to continue work on things that we need to work on. We know that, and you certainly know that. Thank you for always receiving us, Lord, giving us second chances like you did for Jenna. Your God has second chances, and we need that. In your name, amen.
Amen.